الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, few reminders. There are many more reminders that have to be given, but this few first is that we read Durood Sharif 100 times every day. When we asked previously, very few students were reading. Some few students came and said they have started. Hopefully, inshallah, all of us, just 2 minutes to read 100 times Durood Sharif daily. And on Jummah, to increase it, the rewards are very great and immense. Even for our imtihanat, to make it easy to get good results for everything, Durood Sharif is aksir, is most beneficial. And then Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, especially in these trying times, and at all times to read Surah Kahf. The easiest way is every day we read the first 10 ayats in the morning, the last 10 ayats at night. And on Jumu'ah, read the whole surah. Allah give us all tawfiq. It will protect us from all this fitness of Dajjal, and all, it will give us proper Quranic thinking and understanding. It will build a mind which the Quran Sharif builds. So Allah give us tawfiq of that. And also to read 100 times Subhanallah al-Azimi wa bihamdi. Just also ask each one of us, are we reading it? It takes about 2 minutes or so to read. And the rewards of it are so great. 100,000 gunas of ours are forgiven. And also 24,000 gunas of our parents are forgiven. And our worst enemies are our gunas. And by just reading this, we can get our gunas, almost all of them, forgiven. So every Jummah, read 100 times Subhanallah al-Azimi wa bihamdihi after namaz. And not just hearing it, but actually to read it, to bring it in our practice. That is what is required. Allah give us all tawfiq. And we all must make lot of dua also for Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa, what is happening there. And we all have to take a lesson also. And the main lesson, what is the cause of all this? And if we study the Quran Sharif, the main cause is مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, what we have done. That brings the effect of all these things. So we have to become right, the ummah. And with regard to these types of calamities, from the study of the Quran and Hadith, and what our elders and our buzurgs teach us, there are two main causes of them. One is tashabbu bil kuffar. When our lifestyle is like that of the kuffar. Today if we go and see, by and large, we live like the kuffar. For example, the education, our education, our children's education is what the kuffar are dishing out to us. By and large, that is, the whole ummah is going in that direction. Today we can't understand the vast majority of the ummah that dini education is the education. But we feel dunya's education, without that we can't live. We feel it's impossible to live without dunya's education. And then, for example, our dressing. Today is Jumu'ah. Everywhere, generally, Muslims will wear the kurtas, etc. But normally, what is the dressing of the Muslims also? By and large, even good people, on their, so to say, off days, holidays, then they dress like the kuffar. Our homes are fully like the kuffar's homes. Only we put a little smattering of some dini things, some frames in the house of Ayatul Kursi, and we feel it's all right. Today we live their lives, but then we just put a small piece of deen there to justify it. We have a marriage nikah, and 1-2 weeks before, 1-2 months before, everything against Sharia. Immediately after the nikah, honeymoon and all things against the Sharia. Only the 3 minutes, the ijab in qubul, the nikah, that is only the what is of Sharia. But the rest is against Sharia. Today Muslims also, by and large, how much They go for gambling to casinos also. But to justify it, there is a musalla. So they are happy that there is a musalla. In a casino, there is a musalla. And that now justifies it. Or they make arrangements for halal food, certified halal. They're at the casino, at the wrong places. All the haram taking place, but they say, there we got arrangement for halal food, certified halal food. Or we got a musalla there also. And you can make a namaz also there, but how can that ever justify the wrong that is taking place? So that is one major cause of these problems, tashabbuh bil kuffar. And the other is ikhtilat bil kuffar. Our mixing with the kuffar. We mix freely with them. We see at the schools how the children mix with the kuffar. At universities, workplaces, today for sports, and today for any outing also. Muslims together with the kuffar, they are going out and they mixing with them. These are the two main causes. Wherever these types of catastrophes and hardships have come, it is because of these reasons. Allah give us tawfiq to safeguard ourselves and to make effort. And until we don't speak about it, we just saving ourselves, we ourselves are in danger. If we don't talk about it, other people will overpower us and we'll find we go with the flow again. And if we don't talk about it, the others just going to carry on with the wrong. We feel, well, I'm not involved in all these wrong things, so I'm not guilty. But keeping quiet is a sin of its own. What is Amar bil Ma'ruf? What is Nahi anil Munkar? What is Ud'u ila Rabbika? All that is we have to be proactive. Not that we just keep quiet about it. We have to promote the right things. And if we don't, if you keep quiet, you will be overpowered. And if you keep quiet, then everyone is going on with the wrong things. And our silence is, we are complacent. And we are a part of that evil by being silent. So Allah give us tawfiq that we realize our responsibilities and duties. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. And please very passionately make dua for Masjid Al-Aqsa, for the Palestinians, for the Muslims there, and everywhere, the earthquake in Afghanistan, all the difficulties which the Ummah is going through. And if we are not making dua, then we have to be also very concerned if at least dua we are not making. Not just that casually we just say Ameen now, and our dua is made. No, actually to take out the time, a few minutes, and make the dua. If not, then are we part of the ummah or not? If we are not feeling the pain, and we are not feeling hard and difficult, what the people are going through there. For example, Palestine now, all the bombing that is taking place, no electricity, no water, food shortage, everything. Well, what difficult, and it doesn't affect us one bit. We don't even feel a little bit, then are we part of the ummah or not? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the whole ummah is like one body. If the small toe feels the pain, the whole body, the tongue talks about it, the eye looks at it, with our hands we feel it, we put some medicine there, the whole body is involved with that. So if any part of the ummah anywhere, and also if the whatever mistakes all are making, but the thing is, still the pain we should feel, what is happening. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Today, wish to speak on the importance of the sunnat beard, to keep a sunnat beard. When it comes to this matter, when ulama speak about it, anyone speak, then people who are empty and negative, they say that you're putting so much stress on the beard as though the whole of Islam is in the beard. So the whole of Islam is never in the beard. But the beard is definitely part of Islam. And is a major part of Islam. The beard is a very major part of Islam. So people, they try and put us off track. They say, you just speak about the beard or any other one aspect, as if the whole of Islam is only that. The whole of Islam is not there. And Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Enter fully and completely into Islam. You can't minus the beard and be in Islam. You can't minus Islamic dress and appearance and be in Islam. Every aspect of Islam must be in our lives. So that is very, very important. And also, what prompts us to speak about this more, and we tell our friends also, is when we came to know that Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, if a person's beard is one hair, the extent of one hair, less than the proper beard what is to be kept, the sun, the guna, is like keeping no beard at all. So therefore, there are many people, ulama also, learned people, pious people, they have got beard, but it's not the sunnat beard. Therefore, it's very, very important to make sure that my beard is a sunnat beard. A person might, whose whole life he is working, he is in deen, and he's making effort for deen, teaching, jamaat, khanqa, whatever. But if the beard was not correct, just one hair's breadth, it was less than what it's supposed to be, then the guna is like you kept no beard whatsoever. Therefore, it's very important that we have to keep the beard and a sunnat beard. When Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said to Musa alayhi salam, La ta'khuz bi lihyati wala bi ra'si. Don't catch me by my beard and nor by my head. From here it is clearly proven that beard was a first length. If it's just a small beard, you can't catch that beard. If you catch somebody by the beard, if it's a first length, you catch him and you shake him. How Musa alayhi salam shook his brother Harun alayhi salam for when the Bani Israel had committed the big guna. So he said, La ta'khus bi lihiyati. Don't catch me by my beard. So the beard can only be caught if it is a one first length, and that is the sunnat beard. It must be one first length. And then the beard and all the talk is based on the teachings of our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adama Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat used to explain the full details of the beard. The beard, in Arabic, lihya. Urdu, Gujarati, Dari. Lihya is the lower jaw. And the same thing, Dari, what we say in Urdu, in Gujarati, it is from Dhar. And Dhar is the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth like this, and you feel your lower jaw, all that part must be covered by the beard. That is what is called the beard, and therefore it is called Lahiyatun. It is on the lihya, on the lower jaw, dari. So that part is the part which has to be covered with hair, with the hair that grows on the beard or on the jaw, lower jaw, that area. One person, an Englishman, told some young Muslim boy that to keep a beard is unnatural. That you must shave it, you must. It's not right. You keep a beard, it's not natural, it's unnatural. So that young boy told him, and he says that the beard grows only after the age of 18, the beard usually starts around there. A boy usually becomes matured at the age of 15, and roughly at 18, then the beard starts growing. So anyway, he said that now, that 15, 18 years, there was no beard. Now it's unnatural. So that young boy, small boy, told him, sir, that the teeth that grow in the mouth, they must also, you must take them all out, break them and take them out. Because when a child is born, he's born without teeth. And they only come later, much later the teeth start growing. So that is also then unnatural. So you also break your teeth when they come and take them out. فَمَا هُوَ جَوَابُكُمْ فَهُوَ جَوَابُنَا. What is your answer about that is the answer about the beard. So anyway, the beard that grows on the lihya, so that is the area that has to be covered. We must define it and know it properly. So it is the lower jaw. And to understand it easier is from where the two lips meet and the front of the side burn, the hair that comes down from the top. From there to where the two lips meet, that area below that is part of the beard. And above that, where the cheeks are, that is not part of the beard. And it is fully permissible that you remove the hair that grows on the cheek. In that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in his beautiful, humorous way, used to say that remove the hair on the cheek, preferably remove it. For, especially if you are married and your wife wants to land a kiss on your cheek, and she would like to land a kiss on your lips also, but she would also like to land a kiss on your cheek, but there is no landing space. It's all overgrown. So how is she going to land her kiss? So remove the hair that grows or that grow on the cheek. And now what you have to be very careful that when you remove it, a person goes lower. And now he comes into the territory that he's not supposed to cut. The area which is called the beard, lahya. He goes now onto the jaw area. And then he keeps on cutting until he has a thin French beard. Now, that kind, and many people who keep that beard, they're also happy we got a beard. But that is not the required, the sunnat beard. The beard to keep is wajib. And to keep the sunnat beard is also wajib to keep it properly. Many people, so cutting, shaving, going lower, lower, some people make a L-shaped beard. And then all this hair which is on part of the beard is taken out. Just a little bit at the end. And you'll see it's common with the people. And they're all happy and everyone accepts he's got a beard. Or a goatee. That is beard just here on the chin. A little bit. And that person also is happy and everyone also, he's got a beard. He keeps beard. He keeps a sunnat beard even they will say. But it's far, far from the sunnat beard and the required beard. And when cutting hair, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say in his beautiful ways that you are cutting, teen batachar, three quarter, 3/4, your beard is gone. Teen batachar, farighul bal. That 3/4 of your beard is now no beard. All the beard is gone. You have been cutting and lowering, so you have removed, and now you got no actual beard left, just that little bit. So the area of the beard is the area of the jaw. That is here in front. At the bottom where the throat is, hair grows on the throat also. So which hair must we keep and which hair can be removed, which grows here at the bottom. That with regard to that is, our Shaykh used to explain it also with a beautiful example, the hair that grows towards the beard, that must be left. And the hair that is growing away from the beard, down further down on the throat, that can be removed. And that Hazrat used to explain, like if two armies are fighting at war, the soldier that sticks to his army, he must keep him. But the soldier who goes away from his army to the other army, he's a traitor. He must be shot down. So just like that, the hair that sticks to the beard is loyal to the beard. That hair must be kept. But the hair that is growing away from the beard, that is like a traitor. That hair you can remove, that hair at the bottom. So that is the area of the beard. As far as the length of the beard is concerned, it must be 1/5 length. And 1/5 length, that from your own first. Don't call your 2-year-old child and tell him, beta, I have to now trim my beard, make it proper according to sunnah. So please just check, I want to check if my beard is proper. Now the 2-year-old child's first is so small. No, your own first. And not from here, from where the lips are. From there your first will be just under the chin. No, it must be from under the chin and then you hold your beard. And don't extra pull your beard when you want to. Make it even more longer and then you want to cut it. Just normal what it is. Hold your beard from under the chin and what is extra. Leave a little bit for safety's sake so you don't go beyond your limit. But under your chin, 1/5 you take and that is the sunnah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all the Sahaba, but his narration comes clearly that whenever he used to go for Hajj Umrah, or whenever he used to trim his beard to fix it up, like we bath on Friday, well, we remove unwanted hair, whenever the beard doesn't grow so much that every week you have to trim it. But when you have to trim it, he says he should catch it by one first length, and what used to be extra, he used to cut it. So that is one first length, and one first length is at the bottom also. And all this applies for those people whose hair grows. There are many people, hair on the beard doesn't grow. So they are excused if it doesn't grow. But for those who that it grows, it must be kept like that, one first length. And one first length must be on the sides also. When you want to trim your beard, then you take your hair like this and you see what is extra. A little bit keep, but what is more extra, cut that. And this also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Allah shukr that our hair doesn't grow like this. If it was like that, how should we go when we go to our wives? And all the hair is all like this, like a wild beast. No. But when you trim it, then you take it like that. And you see what is extra. And then you trim that. So from all three sides, it must be one first length. And only what is more than a first length, after allowing a little bit for safety's sake, just like Maghrib time, or you open your roza, it's at sunset time. But for safety's sake, we allow 3 minutes. It could be a mistake in the calculation, mistake in the sighting. So for safety's sake, we allow 3 minutes. The same way, when we roza stops when the Subah Sadiq. But for safety's sake, stop 2-3 minutes before. Your watch could be wrong. They could be out by a minute or two. So for safety's sake, so allow that little safety. So like that, the beard should be kept, should be trimmed like that. And then after that comes the question of the moustache. The moustache ruling is that you must remove it completely, but not shave it with a manual shaver, electric shaver, which works on the principle of a scissor. Battery operated, electrically operated, those little things that go round, they work like a scissor. So to use a scissor is the basic thing. You cut it with a scissor. And otherwise, the electric shaver is also alright, the battery shaver. But don't take a razor and you remove your moustache. And the best is to remove the whole moustache. And there also, this whole, don't just remove the front little and you keep on the side. Or you remove the side and you keep here in the middle. Now the whole moustache must be removed. And that will go down till where the lips meet. Don't go below that also. Till where the lips meet, you can remove. And as far as young people are concerned, students, don't touch your beard at all. Only afterwards, when you get married, then the time comes when your wife will want to land a kiss on your cheek. So now you can touch your beard and trim it according to sunnah. But before that, don't touch it. Let it just grow as it's growing. Only afterwards, when you get married, then you trim it according to sunnah. And your moustache, we remove also until where the lips meet. That is the best way, that is our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the first division pass. As far as sunnah is concerned, the highest marks you will get when you remove your moustache completely. It is permissible to keep it second division pass. That you keep it so much, your moustache, if you want to keep it, and but the whiteness of the beard, of the lip, which is just above the lip, just above the lip, there is that little whiteness. That must not be covered with the moustache. That must be trimmed there. You must not let it grow below that. It must be the whiteness of the lips must be visible. That is second division pass. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah said, once he made this bayan in Bombay, and one young person say, I'm quite happy with the second division pass. If I don't get a first division, distinction pass, I don't mind. As long as I pass, that is sufficient for me. So his father was sitting, he said, you are lying. When you got married, you didn't say you are prepared for a second division girl. For a girl that was divorced or widowed, you wanted a young virgin girl. And when we were furnishing your home, you were not happy with second-hand furniture. You wanted first new furniture. So for dunya, we want the best. But for deen, why we settle for what is permissible? There also we must go. In fact, for deen, more we must go for what is the best. And dunya's matters to which are concerned, if we go for second class, second division, doesn't matter. But for deen, we must always go for the first division. So the mustache should be kept like that. It must be removed completely. And so in this way, the beard is a one person. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, one person came to Hazrat and told him that Hazrat, when a person came with a beard, a Maulana, to our house, then my child screamed and got frightened. So, and then I saw that, no, the beard, children get frightened. So you mustn't keep beard. So Hazrat explained to him, your child didn't get frightened because of the beard. Your child up to now was thinking that you shave your beard. And your wife hasn't got a beard. So he thought he's got two mummies. Two ummis he's got. And mothers are soft in nature. So he was happy. I got two mummies and they are both soft in nature. And a father usually is hard, is stern. And he thought, today, this is my father. And therefore he got frightened because the father is hard and stern. The father sees that you do everything right. So he thought that this is my father, that's why. So authority is also by the beard, it shows authority. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that you'll never see a lioness has got a beard. But the lion has got a beard. Every lion, the king of the jungle, he has got a beard. He has got authority. So by beard, authority is established also. If you don't have a beard, you're like a female. And females, they are الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. The women are the fairer, weaker sex. The men are the stronger partner which Allah Ta'ala has made. And the outward sign of it is the beard. So the beard we must keep, and we must keep it properly. And there is great, great reward also for keeping the beard. It is a sign of the Muslim sign, is the sign of a beard. And we should not suffer from any inferiority complex. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah should also say, the Sikhs, the what religion they follow, the Sikhs, anyway, the Sikhs, their religion which they follow, they don't cut any hair of the body. Any hair, they don't touch it. Their beards also grow very long. They curl it and put it back again. They don't cut. Allah only knows what's happening in the other part of their body where what beards are growing there also. So they don't cut. But they go when they are in America, for example, Europe. And especially if they are in the military, they fight court cases. That's our religious right that we can keep the beard. So when they fight so much for that wrong thing of theirs, and they go to, they have court cases, and they get it right also, and they are permitted to keep, then we as the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't we keep the proper sunnat beard? Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi say, you keep a beard, is a sunnat. Keep it according to the sunnat, that is, they keep it as a beautiful part of your dressing. Don't just keep it wild. And in that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, used to say that beard has got three rights. One is taghseel, wash the beard also. And especially when we make ghusl, wash it properly. And a person whose beard is not full, then at wuzu time also he must wash the whole area. And a person whose beard is full, then he can make khilal. And also what khilal is sunnah to say when you are making khilal, haqada amarani rabbi, when you are making your khilal. And pass your hands so that anything that is in the beard can fall out. And you keep it. So the first, wash your beard, taghseel. The second rite of the beard is tadheen. That is, oil your beard also, regularly. Just like people who keep zulfa, there are many, they say sunnat zulfa, but they don't keep it according sunnat tariqa. It's wild, that the zulfa. It must be kept very neat according to sunnat. The beauty of sunnat must come out. So tadheen is oil the beard also. And the third is tashmeet, comb the beard also. Regularly comb the beard also, so that the beard is neat and tidy. And the beauty of sunnat, don't keep the beard and spoil this name of the sunnat by keeping a wild beard, some dirt also inside. If you don't comb it, don't wash it, etc., perhaps some spider webs will also come in your beard. The people will say, what kind of beard is this? Is this a sunnat beard? Keep it properly sunnat. May Allah give us tawfiq to observe every sunnat, have the respect for every sunnat, the love, and to practice every sunnat. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.